Republican Club. They started.
How can I help you?
Hi, I have a 2005 Mustang six-cylinder, and it's making a clattering sound. And I'm trying to get confirmation, or if you could give me advice on how to get confirmation that it's valve lifters, or the timing chain guide, or the two things that I've heard and talking with my friends and stuff.
Okay, there's just so many other things that it could be. It can be an exhaust leak. It can be a ping. So I want you to describe how you – does it happen all the time? If it's sitting there idling or – go ahead.
As soon as you fire it up, it starts.
The clatter starts?
Yes.
And it does it go up and down with RPM? So it goes – and then you give it – up? So it's RPM related, okay. And does it ever change?
It's been getting worse progressively. It's my daughter's car, and she was driving it, and she told me about it. But then when I finally heard it was a few weeks later, and she said, "Yeah, it's louder now." And I said, "This doesn't sound good. Stop driving it."
Okay. How many miles are on it?
170-ish.
And obviously you've checked the oil.
Okay. It's dark, but maybe it needs an oil change, but it's there. It's the right level.
Okay. And again, when you rev it up, the noise is there 100% of the time. So otherwise, when you throttle up, the noise doesn't go away, and then you let go of the gas, and the noise comes back, right?
Correct. It's there 100% of the time.
Okay. All right. It that doesn't sound like anything to do with timing chain and gears and stuff, but that's easy enough to check. Does it have a distributor?
No, it has coil packs.
Okay. So what we typically do is just put a big breaker bar. We lift it up in the air and take a big breaker bar and put it on the front crankshaft pulley. And a very seasoned technician is going to rotate it from like 7 o'clock to 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And he can feel the slop in the chain. And so if you've done a couple hundred of those. Now, it could be a clatter, a lifter clatter. But you didn't say anything about the oil light being on, and typically substandard oil pressure will cause a lifter clatter, but it won't be there 100% of the time. It could be a broken flex plate, and is it an automatic or standard?
Automatic.
Okay, and the flex plate will cause a noise that many of us have a tough time identifying. It's kind of a process of elimination. But you can pull the dust cover off the front of the transmission underneath the torque converter, and you can look up in there and see it. But a lot of times it will change when you go in and out of gear. That's one of the keys with a broken flex plate or a broken flywheel. So, you know, really and truly, some gray-haired guy like me and about 100 of my friends would probably be able to diagnose that in no time at all. Do you have a regular garage that you use?
I don't.
Okay. What part of town are you in?
Southeast Mesa.
Okay. I don't have anybody that real far south. Thompson's Auto Repair is up on Main Street in Stapley. He's a good guy. And you could call and say, I've got an engine noise and I can make it happen. Can I drive it by? Now, you don't have any oil lights on, right? No other lights.
Correct.
Okay.
The check engine light's on, but I haven't had a chance to check the code.
Okay. That would probably be something. Don't drive it anywhere until you find out what that code is and if there's a relationship between the code and the clatter. And I don't know, your 05 doesn't have a lot of the sophisticated advancing and retarding, the timing and advancing and retarding the camshaft and all this other kind of stuff. So, I'm thinking, you know, that car's 16 years old and so it's not going to have a lot of the electronics. But, yeah, it would be worth it. Now, if you had a knock sensor code on it, the knock sensor is supposed to determine when the engine is pinging. But, bad news, a rod bearing or a main bearing will give you a knock sensor code, too. So that you don't want that one. But to Southeast, you know, just take it if you think you're going to drive it and it's not coming apart at the bottom end and it hasn't changed the noise any, it would be scary, but you could probably still drive it within a mile of where it's at and just call the shop in advance. And do you have a master technician or a guy who's really seasoned? I really prefer blue hair or gray hair as opposed to red hair. And and say, I've got a noise, and can you just listen to it and tell me what you think it might be?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck, Shane. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Gil is the one that answers the phone. He's actually the pilot. I'm in the first class section. Depends on first class or coach, depending on Gil. And he tells me what to do and what time to get in and out of my breaks and all that kind of stuff. But him and I have been working together, I think it's been 10 years, Gil, because I started KKNT, I'm pretty sure it was in October or November of 2011.
Yeah, it's something like that. I had more hair back then, too.
Oh, you had more hair back then, too. I think both of us may have had that. Now, but to be fair, we're talking about the top of our head. We're very well covered from the shoulders down.
I still have a comb.
That's what my wife says. She says, don't you think we should shave your back? I said, nobody sees my back, honey. No, I promise you. Nobody sees my back. When I'm weightlifting, I don't have one of those whatever shirts they are. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Okay, if you're looking for a two-axle bumper pull trailer, I personally own a 2012 Jayco Featherlite. It's a 27-foot trailer. And the real thing about this trailer is I actually bought it for a member of the family, and then I went through it. And when I went through it, I mean piece by piece. I put two propane tanks on it. I put a new battery. I put a new bus bar up where you could grab power and ground easy as opposed to rewiring everything. I undercoated the wood inside the battery box, new battery, rewired the battery box, installed two new fuses, a new bus bar, red and black for power and ground, one new propane tank, added a bar and a plate to resecure the two tanks. On the tongue, replaced two broken latches on the exterior door, and I put a propane fuel gauge on it as well. So it's got lots of stuff, and plus the water heater's been flushed, the air conditioning's been run forever, the water filters are all clean, all that stuff. But anyway, it's $11,000. If you're interested, Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. I'm going to show you a receipt for $11,884.52. That's what I got in it. I'm selling it for $11,000. But to be perfectly honest with you, I probably only had about $300 or $400 worth of parts at my cost. And the biggest expense I actually had was the second propane tank and then building the brackets to put it alongside the other one. Anyway, 602-508-0960. When it comes to the repair of your car, I understand the need to Google things. I do it too. I do it too. I had a computer the other day with a printer problem, and I had this particular problem, and I was able to find numerous people that were willing to tell me how to fix my computer. In reality, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this, I simply powered down my entire radio studio that has a computer in it, and I left for a couple of days, and when I got back, I powered it on, and the problem was gone. So I can't tell you why, and I can't tell you when, but I do know that had I gone to Google and chased my tail with all the people that offered me heartfelt advice, with computers and cars, too, oftentimes you just take a break. All right, I have another request from you. If you work on boom lifts, I have a Genie Z boom lift, and I'm going to admit I can't get it. I can't fix this thing. It's a bi-fuel motor, so it has gas and propane. It started and ran beautifully and has for years, but now it cranks over, but it doesn't start. Now I do know this. I know that when I artificially inseminate the engine with fuel, it should, if it had spark, it should try to start, but it doesn't. So when I add fuel to it, it's not trying to start, which tells me the timing belt could be bad, and this thing is buried within the bowels of this machine. So the long and short of it is if you know anybody who works on boom lift, Mark at MarkSalem.com. I'll pay you for your expertise, and I'll pay you to help me diagnose it, but we're going to have to kind of do it over the phone. So I have ohm meters, and I can check compression, and I know what coil over ignition is. I know where the crankshaft sensor is and all that kind of stuff, but I just can't figure this thing out. And maybe there's some magic button I don't see. So I'd be willing to pay you for your time. So Mark at MarkSalem.com if you know someone or if you are a well-seasoned repair tech for a Genie Z45/25J. That's 45 vertical and 25 horizontal, and the J is, I don't know, but it's probably bi-fuel. So, yeah, I'm admitting that the car guy is asking for help. The problem I've got is I can hear the fuel pump running on this, and it stops after just a few seconds, which means it's reached maximum pressure. I've got a fuel filter in it, and I've already replaced that, and I blew through it, and it
was
plugged about 50%, but then I blew through the new one, and it was like blowing through a straw. So I've done some of the fundamental stuff, but, man, and here's the thing I'm thinking. I'm pretty sure I don't have any spark, because when I introduce propane or carburetor spray into the intake of the motor, it doesn't fire. It appears I don't also have injector pulse, so I don't have either propane being delivered to the motor or fuel being delivered to the motor. Gasoline, it's gasoline. And normally on an American car and an import car, the crankshaft sensor would be the one that gives that information to the computer. But the crankshaft sensor ohms out perfectly compared to a new one. So I'm a little concerned about that. But nevertheless, it doesn't make any difference. If you can help me, then mark@marksalem.com. If you have a car question, all you got to do is call us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Well, 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're going to be here till noon and talking about cars. If you'd like to join us, you can, 602-508-0960. We're really good at give and take. It's kind of like, what's it doing? And you'll notice the first caller, Shane, he had a clatter in his engine. And there's a four, five, six maybe reasons why you'd have a clatter, but each one of them has some specific symptoms. For instance, a clatter can sound like an exhaust leak, a ticking noise, and people would say that that's a clatter or a ticking noise, but it goes away or changes dramatically once the motor warms up. So that's why I ask those kinds of questions, is because to try it. But in his case, the noise was there from startup, warm up, all the time, 24/7, it was running, it was clattering. And so I'm a little worried, but there's no oil light on it, and that's okay too. But and of course, Shane had already been into the internet and asked for, you know, lots of advice and stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is they're no better than I am at guessing what's the matter with your car. Just kind of be careful, and if the default is it's, you might lose a motor if you drive it, then it's a good idea to call your local friendly tow truck operator or your road service provider and have the car towed to a repair shop of your choice. So when it comes to car repair, what's important is that there is a process, and in order for it to be a successful repair and where the customer and the shop are happy with one another, it has to have all of these byproducts. The customer has to be in front of the shop, whether it's on the phone or at the front counter, and give us exactly what's going on with the car. Now, it's easy when the wife comes in and she says, you know, I need an oil change and a tire rotation. Piece of cake. No problem. But when it comes to the diagnostic process, we really need to talk to the main driver, and that's okay, ladies, because your husband says to take the car in, and you just say, call my husband, here's his cell phone. He can explain what's going on with the car. Those are the kinds of things that we need. We need the give and take and back and forth. Will the car do 60, 70, 80 miles an hour? Yes. Okay. Then it's not a fuel-related problem, because if the fuel was substandard, if the fuel pressure was substandard, if there was a filter that was plugged half up, it's not going to do 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. It's not. So we ask those kinds of questions in an effort to kind of nail down and perfect our analysis of it. And of course, you know, the diagnostic time, I would say a third of the time we spend from $75 to $150 looking for it, and then it's one of those that took an hour and a half to find it, and it takes 20 minutes to fix it. And that happens sometimes about a third of the time. I don't want to say anything more than a third so that you don't get the idea that it's going to be 50% of the time or 80% of the time, because it's not. But about a third of the time, if we can have a good give and take with the driver, and of course, it has to be somebody on the other end of the phone, on my end of the phone, on the repair shop's end of the phone that knows enough to ask the questions. And I can say, of the shops I respect in the Valley, which there has to be hundreds of them, they all have people for the front counter and for the phones that have that capability to ask the questions back and forth and so forth. And, of course, if you've tried and couldn't fix it, the minute we open the hood and see all the spark plug wires are brand new and all the spark plugs are brand new, the fuel filter's brand new, and the PCV valve's brand new, we can pretty much tell that you've been guessing. And that's okay. If the problem is still there, then you've eliminated a lot. If it's got a fuel filter in it, new fuel filter in it, and it's a, if you, it can be a fuel starvation problem because a new fuel filter put, replaced, when we use a new fuel filter to replace an old fuel filter and the symptoms change, at least we're on the right track. And that's what's good about it. Those are the things that kind of move us from front to back. From the front of the diagnostic process to the successful part. And the shop has a responsibility to identify the problem. And the intermittent problems are the worst ones in the world. Those are the ones that give all of us, both you and me, gray hair. Because if it's intermittent, it has to be there when we're looking. Otherwise, all we can do is just start selling you stuff. Let's flush the fuel injectors. Let's clean the EGR valve. Let's replace the distributor weights mechanisms. I mean, you're just kind of guessing. And obviously, the real question happens to be, has it ever left you stranded? And if the answer is no, then let's just continue to drive it until it either you need a tow truck or that the check engine light comes on, or that you can tie one and one together. So it's not uncommon. There's lots of times where in the heat of the summertime, the application of the air conditioning is so seamless. We all keep the air on. We all keep it on fan speed 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever. We all do that naturally. But sometimes when you take the air conditioning away and expose yourself to the searing temperatures, that can change how a car drives and acts and idles. And that's part of the process. And we have a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say hello to Paul.
Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to put a shout out, and I have a question.
Sure.
Shout out to Automotive Dynamics down in, Sun City?
Yeah, yeah.
They worked on my truck. They did a bang-up job.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chuck Nida and I have been friends since 1968. We were both in grade school then, of course. And he's very principled, and he knows right from wrong, like many of us do. So it's not a good idea for our technicians to think that they're going to tease us into something, because that's not going to happen. But it pleases me for the attaboys.
And he runs a nice, clean shop.
Oh, good. Good, good.
I think you could almost eat off the floor there.
Okay. Who was the one that took care of you? Do you remember the name?
I don't remember his name. I think he was the owner. I'm not really sure.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Good enough. Okay. Well, thank you. Is it, you said first.
Okay. My question is, how do you know when it's time to get a new vehicle?
Oh, okay. I can answer that. When it starts consuming oil, where you're driving around a James Bond car with blue smoke coming out of the tailpipe, or when you're constantly experiencing an overheat, which is where the needle is flirting with the red zone or in the red zone. And the idle is also another kind of way. If we're having a tough time with idle, and we've got a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 codes in the computer, sometimes that means that we've got a major motor malfunction. We've got our vacuums dropped from 16 or 18 inches of vacuum to 11. The catalytic converter's plugged up because it's full of oil. The car's been consuming oil and drinking oil like there's no tomorrow. The customer has, you know, cans of 50 weight in the trunk, and he's trying to keep them. Those are the kinds of things. Now, that's where a car's in really bad shape. I think you get rid of a car otherwise, A, when your wife tells you to, or B, when you decide to improve your lot and you're going to go from one kind of a vehicle to another, and if your car still has value, you want to get rid of it before it doesn't. And so a car that has 75 to 100,000 miles, that's got one owner and all the maintenance records in a 3-ring notebook, is very valuable as a used car today. How'd I do?
Okay. Well, I've had my pickup for about 20-some-odd years. It's got 250,000 on it, and now it runs like a champ, so I guess I'll keep it for another 20.
And now, if I should have clarified at the very beginning, I like that. And so my answer is going to be a lot firmer. Until that thing starts having overheat problems or starts drinking oil and you're puffing blue smoke, that thing will go continue on. It'll go fine. So there's going to be a reason that it all of a sudden starts drinking oil. And don't let your grandsons take it out for the weekend. That would probably be the Monday that it would start drinking oil. But I don't get rid of anything till the mileage or until it starts leaking oil profusely because of the internal pressure within the engine is getting past all the gaskets and all the O-rings. That's the time to get rid of it. But in your particular case, I wouldn't be getting rid of it. 602-508-0960.
All about that theme.
34 minutes after 9 o'clock. We're going to be here until noon. So if you have a car question, then you're welcome to give us a call. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And that's because we're at 960 The Patriot, right on the 960 dial. And we're talking about cars. I'm especially good when the husband and wife have a disagreement about something with the car. I'm really good with those kinds of Judge Judy decisions. It really depends on if you live in town or out of town, and if you live in the my neighborhood, I'm going to side with the wife every time. But nevertheless, you can still run it by me. It's speaking of if you know anybody who's a Corvette guru kind of guy, and somebody who loves Corvettes, we're going to sell a car for one reason, a Corvette for one reason, and that's because my grandsons are getting to drivers, you know, to the time when they're driving. And this is not a car that they're ever going to drive. And so to ensure that they're never going to get into this car, then I'm going to sell it. And it's a 2006 Z06, and it has 26,000 miles on it. So it's, I mean, I pulled it out of the garage not too long ago and put it back on the road for 3 or 4 days, which I usually do when I have to run to Tucson or when I have to go back and forth to Payson. And it's a car that gets very little road time. But 2006 Z06, now it's got the LS7 motor, which is the 7-liter, and it's got 505 horse from the factory. But it has a whole lot more right now. And the reason it has a whole lot more right now is way back in 2006, we put twin turbos on this. So underneath the back of the car in the exhaust, we've got twin turbos, and then we've got the air tubes running through the sill plates, which is the piece of the body below the driver's door and the passenger door. And so this is a twin-turboed Z06. And the regular car runs somewhere in the vicinity of 11 second quarter mile at 127. And so in 11 second quarter mile, this now does a 9 second quarter mile. And in stock, it did 127 in the mile per hour. And in the traps that we went through, it was 149 miles an hour. So the car is a beast. It's not a car that you would put your 16-year-old child in. And that's exactly the reason why I'm getting rid of it, because it's just, I'm not going to take the chance of this car hurting one of the grandsons. So if you know anybody, 2006 Z06, LS7 motor, twin turboed, and we did the installation on the twin turbos back in 2006 on this ourselves. We know that car inside and out, and it's black on black on black on black. It's black everywhere except the outer edge of the wheels have a red powder-coated ring on them. And it's got the heads-up display, and it's got all the benefits of a Z06. So Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark, with a K, at MarkSalem, like the cigarette, Salem, S-A-L-E-M.com. If you know anybody that's interested in a rocket-fast Corvette, this certainly is one of the kings of the roads. And you don't have to – I'm told this now. Keep in mind, I'm told this, that you don't have to be afraid of the Audis and the Mercedes-Benzes and the Jaguars and oftentimes not even Maseratis and those kinds of cars, because those kinds of cars typically take a lot longer to get up to speed. So they're more high-speed road cars, where this one goes from zero to G-mini Christmas in about 11 seconds. Actually, less than 11 seconds, in about 9 seconds. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We had this conversation yesterday at a family function about engine oil. And I'm sure most of you are confused, but I'm going to kind of clean up the engine oil issue for you. We've always had what we called conventional engine oil. That was what we've had since we had cars on the road. And each time we've improved it a little. Now, probably back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, Mobil 1 came out with their synthetic oil. And that was a big deal, but a synthetic oil simply has a wider protection package. So a regular oil will actually turn to wax at somewhere in the vicinity of 26 degrees, down to maybe 10 degrees. But a synthetic oil won't turn to a wax to 60 below zero or something like that. So there's a lot of difference with respect to the to everything about oil. So we have a conventional oil, and then we have a semi-synthetic, which is a blend. But nobody will tell you what the blend is. Is it an 80-90 or 80-20, or is it a 50-50? Now, the blend means it's this much conventional oil and this much synthetic oil. Then we have the synthetics. So we have three kinds of oil. We have three prices, and we have three uses. For instance, the conventional oil, the Mother Nature oil, the oil we've always had, you're going to have a 3 to 5,000 mile oil change interval. The semi-synthetics, the blended oils, you're going to have somewhere between 5 and 7,500 mile oil change. And then synthetics is 7,500 to 15,000. So you can see that there's a big difference in how often you have to bring your car in, but it has a lot to do with the oil's performance level. Here's the sin our industry's doing. Some in our industry are selling you a total oil package, a total synthetic package. They have all kinds of fancy names for it. This is the best of the best. Well, if they're going to put the synthetic in, they should move your oil change interval should go somewhere in the vicinity of 75 to 15,000 miles. But they don't. They put a 3,000-mile sticker on your car to bring you back in at 3,000 miles when your oil is not even 25% used. That's a problem. That's a problem. So we represent this premium oil package, and that explains why it costs you between $125 and $150, but then we bring you back at 3,000 miles when we really shouldn't bring you back till 10 or 12. That's my comfort zone, is 10 to 12. That's kind of bad. So keep... and then don't change your kind of oil till you look in your owner's manual and see what available it was. But you can go to a synthetic. I'll give you a quick example. I know I'm up against a break, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I have customers in Ahwatukee and Mountain Park Ranch area that drive 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year. I put conventional oil in their cars. They come in once a year for an oil change. We're done. Now, if they go 7,500 miles or thereabouts a year, 75 to 12,000, and then typically I'll put them in a semi-synthetic. But if I've got a synthetic and they're the 15 to the 20 mark, I'm going to put them in synthetic oil, and then that way they're going to be coming in, depending on their manual, between 12 and 15,000 mile intervals. You still have to check your oil, but obviously it's going to save you money over the long run. So beware of that you're paying for the premium oil, but they're using the cheap oil, oil change interval, because that way they get to see you every 3,000 miles instead of every 10,000 miles. Makes a difference. We'll be back. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm Mark Salem. If you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960. We're talking cars. It's called Under the Hood with Mark Salem. I'm a master technician. I've been working on cars since I was in high school in 1968. And we work on all kinds of cars, from large diesel motorhomes all the way down to little VW Bugs from the 50s and 60s and everything in between. So if you have any questions or you had an argument in the family, I can help you. When it comes to car repair shops, I want to talk about two of them. Auto Dynamics is on the west side of town. It's Sun City's largest and most trusted facility. It's been around since 1982. I've known Chuck for a very, very long time, and they're very proud of their shop. It's on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. But maybe you weren't around then, but Shane called in first actually Paul called in first, and he said that he had stopped by Auto Dynamics, and he said it was really nice, was really clean. They got his car done, and he was very, very happy. And that makes me very happy because, you see, when we have an unsolicited caller say how nice they were treated at one of our shops, then that makes me very, very happy. There's another shop in town, too, Action Auto Repair, up at I-17 in Deer Valley that I get compliments on a lot. Northwest corner of Deer Valley and I-17. Tom's been around since 1983, and I've known Tom since 1983. So he has ASE Master Certified Technicians. He knows right from wrong, and he's not going to trick you and sell you something you don't need. So an oil change starts the process, and the question from the customer should be easy. If you see anything that needs to be dealt with now or in the future, would you please write it on the repair order and put a number to the repair or the service? That's how it is. It's just that easy. But don't forget, your owner's manual is the Bible for your car. Don't let anybody, without good reason, don't let anybody change the procedures or change the intervals. You're going to hear sometimes that, you can't go 100,000 miles on your transmission fluid because we're in Arizona. That's not good enough. And I'm an oil expert, and I'm telling you that's not true either. The fact of the matter is that if you drive 2,000 miles a year, then you should probably have your transmission fluid changed after 10,000 miles just because of the moisture inside the transmission. Because clearly you're warming it up and then it's cooling down. And so when it cools down, it gets a lot of moisture. But if you drive the car every day, we're going to boil the moisture out every day. So, and it's not going to be stored with the water or the water vapor inside the component. So Action Auto Repair is a good guy, I-17 in Deer Valley. When you take your car into the shop, I think I can speak for most shop owners and service writers and stuff. We really like it if we can just have a conversation at the front counter. Ladies, I know that many times you're told to take the car in and tell them to do this, but it really would help if we just knew why we were doing that. It would help because it's going to save a problem where the husband says, have them clean the fuel injectors, and that'll take care of the mist that he's diagnosed himself. So we spend $100 to $200 flushing the fuel injectors, and then you still have the same problem, and it was a vacuum hose at the EGR valve. And we could have fixed that thing for $50, $60, because you have to move some of the stuff to get to the vacuum line, but by the same token, we would have known. So that happens a lot to the ladies in the world, and they just get told by their husbands, this is what I want. But ladies, your self-defense mechanism is, well, what's it doing? Tell me what it's doing so I can kind of see what, I can feel it on the way to the repair shop. So sometimes we don't tell. It's an uncomfortable thing for the shop to be in between the husband and the wife. But then sometimes the wife just says, call my husband. That's okay too. Just call my husband and he'll explain what he wants you to do to the car. And obviously, if it's going to be, I want you to replace all the spark plugs and the wires. We know he's trying to fix something. We know this is his shotgun repair. And we know that the success of this kind of a transaction, at best, is 50-50. Either he's going to hit it or he's not. And by the time you put spark plugs and spark plug wires on a motor, you're talking a lot of money. You're talking $200 or $300, depending on 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder, whether they're coil over ignition and all the other stuff. It can be expensive. So then when husband brings the car back in and says, hey, it's still doing it, and then we say, doing what? We were just told to change the spark plugs by your wife. We didn't know that there was anything that we were trying to fix. We thought that this was something that, you know, had mileage had dictated, oh, when you hit this many miles, replace your spark plugs and your wires. We didn't know why we were doing it, but we just did what we were told. Many of us understand that we're not going to fall for that anymore. We're going to be very polite, but we're going to ask for permission to talk to the husband and find out why are we doing what we're doing. Just let us in on that so that we can. We may very well open up the hood and see one bad wire or diagnose one bad wire. Do you still want a full set or do you want me just to replace that one? Because I can just do the one. And I know it's going to be fine after I do that because I lifted the wire up, I put a piece of wood underneath it, and I went and drove the car, and this wire's not going to spark to the wood. and the car ran great. Then I pulled a piece of wood out and drove it, and da 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 da, that kind of thing. So that's the hard part, is the front counter is getting more and more difficult, and what's making it difficult for shops like mine and many others is Google and all the traffic on the radio or on the internet about, you know, what's the matter with your car. Nobody can diagnose your car over the phone. I promise you that. I can't diagnose your car over the radio. But what we can do is I ask questions and you give me one of two or three answers. Yes, no, or I don't know. Or I'll watch for it. Are you adding oil regularly? No. Okay. Do you have blue smoke? Yes. Okay. And you've got an engine miss. Yes, I have a misfire on number 7. How long has the blue smoke been there? Quite a while. Okay, blue smoke means we're consuming oil, but it's not that bad. But maybe it's affecting the number 7 cylinder that has the misfire, and maybe that spark plug's dirty. So I think the procedure would be, because we have a code that points towards number 7, let's pull the plug and look at it. Oh, pull it out. Boom, yeah, it's bad. So let's put a new spark plug in 7. Now we got to deal with the oil issue. Oh, you're running a synthetic at 200,000 miles. A 0-20 synthetic at 0. Let's do this. Let's change our oil brand and go to a 30 weight or maybe a 10-40. Let's go to a conventional and get away from the synthetic, and let's go to the conventional and see if we can control the oil consumption a little bit better. Instead of using oil with the consistency of water, let's try oil with the consistency of chocolate milk maybe. And that way, if we thicken the oil up a little bit in this old engine, maybe we can slow down the oil consumption and make that spark plug last longer. That's the kind of conversation you'll have at many of the shops on my website, marksalem.com. You click on Best Car Repair Shops. These are the gray-haired dogs that have been around the block a couple of times. Each and every one of them is just exactly like me in the sense that we know when we're talking to somebody on what's in their best interest. And that's really the big deal. The big deal is when the shop is regurgitating the diagnosis to you and they're giving you the bill, is that fixing your problem or is that padding their wallet? And, of course, you'll know, because when you pick up your car and if your problem's not fixed, you're going to be mad, and rightfully so. Folks, that's even happened to me. That's happened to us where we went in, we diagnosed a problem, we fixed the problem, and the car came back. It had a symptom just like it. We have no choice. We either give them the money back on the first one and fix the second one, or we fix the second one for free, providing it's not an engine replacement or something stupid like that. That's just a part of the game. Not game. I don't mean that. Part of what happens to us in car repair. I'll take the call. Who's that?
Say hello to Alan.
Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Sure. Two questions, actually. Got a 2010 Hyundai Accent and struggling with diagnosing. The speedometer doesn't work. Replace the input shaft, input sensor, and another one. Replace two sensors thus far. And the last one, I think, is called the output shaft sensor.
Okay.
My check engine light is not on. It shifts properly, just no speedometer and no cruise control.
Okay. The first thing that I'd do if I was driving the car is I'd drive it, and while I drove it, I would hit the dashboard starting from the passenger side and hit it all. Well, you can laugh all you want, but that's what I'd do. I can't tell you how many times I fix things like this doing that. So I'm just looking for a bad connection. You have an output shaft, and that's really the one we're looking for, is that sensor. That's going to tell you what the speed is. It's not going to be anything else.
Right.
But you don't have any hard codes, and that kind of bothers me. So I'm thinking maybe the signal's being sent, but there's no checks and balances to see if we're going to display the right signal. So there's no code that says, oh, your speedometer went dark. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have all the other gauges on your dashboard? Is it possible that the circuit board's bad and we're just not displaying the speed?
No, they are working.
Okay. Okay. We don't fix...
I got a little... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. We don't fix things based on codes. We fix things based on, you know, what's the root of the problem. The code, virtually 50% of the time, it says, I've got a speed sensor code, and it's not going to be a speed sensor code, or it's going to be something else. I'm just wondering, too, on your 2010, if we're picking up the speed on one of the wheel sensors, and it's probably got traction control, and it probably has ABS, and those call for four sensors. And so I'm wondering if one of the sensors on one of the wheels that's supposed to report just to the speedometer, and I'm just guessing. And if that were the case, then I'd go drive it with my scanner, and I'd ask to look at all four wheels, and then lo and behold, the right rear wheel says zero, and all the rest of them say 39 miles an hour. And so at that point, I'm going to go back. But then again, that almost always sets a hard code, too. And you said that there is no codes.
Yeah, yeah, well, I had someone replace the last sensor, I think it's the input one that's up behind the left front wheel.
Okay.
The bottom of the transmission.
2 minutes.
And he cleared all the codes. So he said if it still doesn't work, it's probably that output shaft sensor.
Okay.
The one with the gear on it.
Okay, well, you know, if I think I'd have a talk with him and say, how many more guesses is there, and how sure are we now, and do you feel pretty good about that? Because if he has a scanner, he should be able to watch both the input and the output sensor.
Right.
And so
I'm somewhat complicit. I broke one of your golden rules, offered a self-diagnosis.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. My brother does that. You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's just, I think you'd be better served by having somebody with a better scanner maybe, and have them go out and look. I want to see all four wheels moving. And when I make a hard right turn, I want to see the outer wheels turning at a faster speed than the inner wheels, because the outer arc in the right turn is less.
Right.
And then I want to go fast, and I want to go through all the gears. And so I think that would be the first place I'd want to start is that. And then I'd probably look up and see if we're having a problem and get the part number for the output sensor. And if it's already been superseded five times, that means that they had A, and it was a piece of crap, and B, and C, and D, and E were all pieces of crap, and now we have E or F. And so those are kinds of things that we have our parts department do. How many versions of this, you know, output shaft do we have? We have only one. Okay, good. That means it's a good one. And if I have to put one on, I'll feel pretty good about it. But that's kind of how it works. I'm up against a break. I got to take off. But if you want to, you can continue the conversation with me at mark@marksalem.com. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Well, when it comes to good auto repair shops, you'll find most of the shops, I believe, really do a good job fixing cars. Been around a long time, well qualified, the necessary and proper equipment, scanners, hoists, all kinds of stuff. And Blackwell Automotive is one of them. Tom's up at 40th and Greenway. He's been around a long time. Him and I are really good friends. And he does lots of hot rods and vintage cars. So he does, if you have a 63 Corvair, and that's the first car you ever had, and it's been in the garage for the last 20 years, then you might call Blackwell if you decide to put it back on the road, because that's some of what he does, but he also does normal oil changes and everything else. So you've got Tom there, and you've got Christy there. And Christy, you would think, is Tom's wife, but she isn't. But she's every bit as good as a wife would be, because she's been around a long time. So if Christy meets you at the front counter, then you'll know that you're with somebody who's been around the block, and you don't want to treat her as if she doesn't know anything about cars, because she really does. That's Blackwell Automotive. When it comes to kind of customers, I guess, 602-508-0960 is the phone number, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or anything or a comment, then you're welcome to give us a call, and we'll take you as quickly as we can. I'm going to touch two things that will generate phone calls, I'm sure. And number one is, what kind of customers I don't want, okay? I don't want a customer who's going to tell me what to do every time they bring their car in. And the reason for that is that they've diagnosed it themselves, or they've determined that in order to make the car be better, that I need to replace the radio antenna. And so we get into those silly kind of Google responses, and so we do what we're asked to do, and we do it successfully, and it doesn't fix the problem. And the next thing that happens is we have the customer, sometimes a man, sometimes a woman, come in or call and want their money back because you didn't fix it. Then we look at the work order and we go, there's nothing on the work order that says fix it. You said do this. We did that. You never said that you were diagnosing your own problem, and you never said that you had a problem. So now you have a problem, and the repair you told us to do didn't fix your car, and now you want your money back, so you want us to pay for your bad guess, your bad diagnosis, your Google diagnosis. It's just not fair. And there is a common thread for the people that come in and tell us that, and inevitably it's someone who's never been in before, who's shopping for a repair shop because the other two people said the same thing. No, we're not gonna do what you ask us to do because we know that that's just gonna drive a wedge between us. What kind of customers do I want? I like the little old ladies. They trust us. They listen to us. They take our advice, but each and every one of them has been a mother and a grandmother and a wife. And as a result of that, they're smarter than the average bear. So they'll ask great questions. Mark, what is it? Why is it that all of a sudden now I need to service my transmission? Oh, Mrs. Twentier, you just passed 100,000 miles. So that's the time that we do the transmission. Okay, well, we've never done the transmission before. No, ma'am, you just crossed over 100,000 miles. This is your first 100. That's why we need to flush the transmission. How much does that cost? $350. Okay, go ahead and do it. Will I see any difference? No, ma'am, you won't. If you're happy with the way the transmission shifts right now, that's fine. This is just a matter of us taking all, draining out all the old blood that's gone 100,000 miles and putting in new blood. That's it. And the fluid's going to be a little different, because 4 years ago it called for this oil, and now they've changed it and they've upgraded the oil. That's the reason why the transmission service is a little more expensive than normal. It's because it's a synthetic transmission fluid. And that's going to give you great protection, especially when your grandson borrows your car and goes to Central Avenue and wants to drag race on Friday night. She says, I don't let my grandson drive my car. And I said, that's a good idea. I can speak from a grandson's point of view. That's a great idea. So it's that kind of a conversation, but more important than anything else is when you're called by your shop and they give you a laundry list of things to do, many, 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 many times the laundry list contains things that are mileage sensitive. So at 30 you do this, at 60, at 90, at 120, every 50,000 miles you do this, every 100,000 miles you do that. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And the best question is, what will my owner's manual say? And he says, I don't know. And say, well, you have my car. Would you look at my owner's manual? And would you be so kind as to take a picture of the page that kind of supports you saying that I need this $350 transmission fluid change? Would you just kind of take that picture from my owner's manual? That would put me at ease, and I would. And if you send me the picture, I'm going to send you back a thumbs up, or I'm going to call you and say, go for it. You see, we jump at that opportunity to develop the trust with our customers, those of us. And I would say 90% of the shops out there try really hard to do that. 10% of the shops don't care. That's kind of how it works. But we want to be your hero, so we're really happy to get the owner's manual out, to take a picture, to circle that area, or to just copy it, and then we take highlights and we circle the area, say, here, this is what it says. And here's the addendum on your owner's manual that says, instead of this fluid, use this fluid. Bingo, we're home free. And the good news, Mrs. Twentier, is it won't happen again for another 100,000 miles. Well, I won't even own the car by then. Okay, well, if you're going to buy a new Maserati, it's going to be more expensive to. And then they laugh and you move on. So that's how it works. Okay, we got a caller. Who's that, Gil?
We have Paul on
Paul,
the line.
Paul, good morning. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, good morning to you too, sir.
Thank you.
I've got a Honda CR-V 2010. And I was told at the dealership that in about another 3,000 miles, because I've got 102 on it now, I'll need a valve adjustment and spark plugs. And I was wondering, who do you recommend on the east side around 32nd Street and Shea area?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's be fair to them. What was their estimate for spark plugs and a valve adjustment?
600.
And did they break that down for you?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
They just, no.
I can tell you the spark plugs are very expensive because they're 100,000 miles and there's probably platinum. So the spark plugs could be anywhere from $20 to $30 to $40 a piece. The valve cover, you're going to pull the valve cover off, and we're going to adjust the valves, and that alone is probably half of that bill. Now, here's there's a little bit of overlap here, and I'm going to just say this, not because I think they're trying to rip you off. I don't. We have to pull the spark plugs out to get to the valve adjustment. Because we got to pull the valve cover off. And so the spark plugs come out, and then the valve. So there's a little bit of duplication. But let me ask you a question. Let me offer you a something. I would call them back and say, other than the mileage, is there anything else there that indicates that I need the valve adjustment? And I'll tell you why.
Good question. Yeah.
Because if the valves are loose, you're going to have a clatter that you didn't have or that you've recently noticed at the 80 mark or 90 mark or 100 mark. Now, if the valve is too tight, and they're never too tight, if the valve is too tight, there's a backfire when it gets hot. So you'll have an exhaust backfire or an air filter backfire. Ka-choosh, ka-choosh. So valve's too tight, valve's too loose, we got symptoms. You don't have any symptoms. So you say, you know what, I just want to roll the dice. I don't have any clatter in the morning that goes away after the motor heats up. That means they're too loose. I don't have that clatter. I don't have that symptom. Now, you're going to be talking to a service writer that probably doesn't have the expertise or the certifications that I do. But if you don't have any valve issues, and then change the question, Mark, how many times do you see a Honda come in and it has thousands of dollars worth of work because they didn't do their valve adjustment at 100,000 miles? And the answer is never.
Never. That makes sense, right?
Never. But the spark plugs, is it a four-cylinder or a V6?
Four.
Okay. The spark plugs and replacing the spark plugs and using some dielectric grease and getting the old ones out and putting the new ones in is easy going to be $150. Easy.
Oh, okay.
And it could be more than that. So the 600 bothers me, but I'm not a fan of Justin valves because it's very lucrative. And if there's no clatter now, how do I know? And I don't take this for what it's worth. It's hard to tell whether anybody did anything at all anyway. They can pull the valve cover off and put it on and put it, and they can just run their hands over the valves and crank it over and touch it with their fingers and go, okay. I've seen it happen. I'm not suggesting maybe 10% of the guys out there that are going to be that stupid to do something like that, but I'm just not a fan of the valve adjustment without symptoms. Now, if the valves start clattering at 110, fine, do them then. But but I'm just not a fan, and I want to tell you, my shop and many other shops, we just don't. That's kind of a very expensive repair with no visible or audio benefit. And that's a hard sell.
It really is a hard sell. So in other words, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, and just when we're talking about valve adjustments, because it's not going to make it any better. And we're talking about the thickness of a hair. A hair is 2 thousandths thick, and sometimes the valve adjustment is 5. And so what do you want me to do if I stick a feeler gauge in there and it's 6? One half the thickness of a human hair. Oh, it's 6. I need it at 5. Oh, you don't need it at 5. It's fine at 6. So,
right.
That's the way I feel.
But having the spark plugs done other than the valve adjustment as well? Is it doesn't make any sense to do one and not the other?
No, they're completely separate. They're completely separate. And if you're at 32nd Street in Shea, then probably up at 40th and Greenway, Blackwell Automotive. And tell him Mark Salem said that he's pretty sure he's got a $100 off coupon in his truck that he's going to mail me.
Okay.
Now, I want to follow up with this. I don't make a dime, not one red cent on your job or this referral. I promise you.
Okay.
I would refuse the money, but he is a good guy. He's up in your area, and this is on a 1 to 10 scale. This is a 3.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Well, sounds good, Mark. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. It's the same way with transmission fluids, flushes that are $200-$300. It's the same thing with all your fan belts and your timing belts and stuff like that. It's just kind of, there is it is to your benefit to have some gray-haired guy that's been in the industry 20, 30, 40 years just kind of look and touch stuff. And then the question is if I was your mother, first of all, do you love your mother? Yes, I do, the technician says. Good. If I was your mother, would you say to do a valve job, well, will you leave it overnight and let me listen to it in the morning? Yeah. And then you come in and he goes, everything's okay, thank you, goodbye. And he's telling you that they didn't clatter cold, and if there's no clatter cold and it goes away within the next 3 minutes, then you need a valve adjustment. But if there's no clatter cold and it's nice and quiet, and it's quiet throughout the day, then the valve, if they're too tight, there's a backfire, and if they're too loose, there's a noise. So if there's no backfire and there's no noise, you don't need a valve adjustment. Well, welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me tell you real quick about a really great shop in Mesa. The only shop in Mesa that I can put my name next to and say that this is a good shop. I know the family. I know the owners. I know the people that work there. And I have been an advocate of them for many, many, many years. And that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. You see, the Thompson and Vivian family used to own gas stations in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s in Mesa. These are their kids. So Brian and Thelma come from those two families, and they just morphed right into the auto repair. It's because they've been around gas stations and garages their whole life. They know the difference between right and wrong, and you only have to meet them and shake their hand, and then you look up and you say, Mark was right. There's no way in the world they're going to take advantage of you. So if you're in Mesa, the only shop I can recommend, they've been around since 1970, is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on Main Street just east of Stapley. Main Street just east of Stapley. Michael, good morning.
Hi, Mark. Got an oil question for you.
Okay.
You know, in the old days, they always told us to warm up the engine before you change, but what's the advantage on a 0-20 of doing that? Because it's like water anyway.
You're right. You're right. The idea is that the as you heat the oil up, the oil consistency will typically become thinner. But a 0-20, like you say, is already thin. So the answer is, the only thing I can tell you is that I feel better about running my car in and having the oil change done. I think I hold 10 or 12 quarts in my diesel Dodge. I just like that idea of doing it when it's warm. I want to paint in your head a picture of the cold oil looking like Wesson oil or something thick, some corn syrup, and coming out of the drain plug, as opposed to water coming out of the drain plug. Now, I'm giving you an exaggeration that just shows you the two extremes. To be perfectly honest with you, I've never seen a customer in my life spend a dime because they didn't warm up their car before they did their oil change. So I've never been. Now, it is true that we have short-term drivers, and we drain the oil, and it comes out plunk, plunk, and it's got big, you know, big balls of waxed-up oil. Sometimes the shop will ask Mrs. Jones, can I borrow your car tomorrow? I need to go to Tucson. And if you let me drive, I'm going to have Eddie take it. He lives on the west side of town, and he'll drive it. And then that way it'll be really warm tomorrow morning when we do it. So the last couple of times we've just noticed that we got quite a bit of gel. And so if it's okay with you, I'm going to have Eddie drive it. And then we're going to drop the oil first thing in the morning. And I think that will benefit you. And by the way, you're going to pay for the gas. And she says, yeah, Mark, go ahead. So how many miles are on your car that you're talking about?
100,000.
And how many years old is it?
Six.
Okay, it's not like it's been sitting around a long time, has it? So,
no.
No. So, you know, we can't create it's in our best interest if we created the perception that when you park it, the oil turns to jello. And then, you know, after you drive it, that's not true. And especially with synthetics, it's not true. So I don't think that should be a blimp on your radar screen. I don't think you should bet any money on that.
And if the wife says she wants to go warm it up before she takes it in for an oil change, I probably wouldn't argue with her either.
Okay. Well, I've got old cars that have ones I use 1540 and another is 1550, and I warm those up. But this synthetic is just always like water.
Yeah, yeah. And the technology is so far advanced. I mean, think about it. We did spark plugs 10 and 15,000 mile intervals, and now we're doing them at 100,000 mile intervals. The spark plug's a whole lot better. The oil filters are better. The oil's better. The complete combustion is better. Instead of leaving a little bit of gasoline in the cylinder that leaked past the rings and diluted the oil, we don't have that anymore. We got a PCV valve that vacuums out all those fumes and burns them again. So this new technology that started in 1981, and when we went into fuel injection in the 90s, and then all of a sudden we went to no distributors in the mid 2000s, you know, we've made some tremendous progress. But you know, the older cars, I think every other oil change, maybe every third oil change, is going to be drain the oil out when it's good and warm, and I just brought it off the road. So people say that to us. Can I come in at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and get my oil changed? Yes, you can. No, I can't do it tomorrow. I'm booked tomorrow, but I can do it Thursday. Thursday at 2 o'clock? Yeah. Okay, thank you. That happens, and we accommodate those. We accommodate those guys that just want to drive us crazy. I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing you. I'm teasing you. But you understand. All righty?
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
All right, you betcha, Michael. Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Tell you about another repair shop in town, Harker's Automotive. I want to tell you something. Larry Harker's Auto, he has pulled the rabbit out of his hat so many times for me. I remember, I think it was a BMW and Audi. I don't remember which one it was. But anyway, it had water on the floorboard. And it was a situation where they had said that they had to do $5,000 worth of repair. And this was in the summertime, by the way, because that's an important part of the story. It was going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to fix this. Now, folks, in your air conditioning, you all know that your car will leak oil on really hot days. Or not oil. It'll leak water by the feet of the passenger. You'll come back out and you'll see water there. And if you get down and touch the water, it's going to be cold. So it's from in the air conditioning unit that's behind the glove box. That's called the evaporator. That's the cold guy. We have a fan behind that. So we get that cold and we blow fan across it. That gives you air conditioning. Well, in high humidity, we create a lot of water. So this water diagnosis was a $5,000 bill. So I said, you're on his side of town, so go over to Larry Harker's and have them look at it. Don't tell him what the other diagnosis was. Just tell him, I got water on the floorboard. Well, they looked, and there's a drain, and the drain was plugged because that's the drain that takes that water and allows gravity to go on the ground outside the car. They took a coat hanger, and they went up in the thing, and all of a sudden it started leaking a little bit more water. So they get this electric blower, and they bolt it. They don't bolt it, but they're holding it to the dashboard, and they're blowing into the vents, and all of a sudden this hose that comes out goes big old piece of dog hair and trash and a couple of tacos and some lettuce comes out, and then all this water comes out. That's it. They charged them, I don't know, $75 to unplug his drain, where somebody else wanted to go in and replace the evaporator. You see, the scary part is did that somebody else know what was going on, and he was going to charge them an arm and a leg to go in and do what they did for what, $150? So you see the difference? The difference is honesty and integrity. Just fix the car, and God will take care of you. We all believe that. So Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, well worth the drive if you're on that side of town. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're more than welcome to give us a call if you'd like, and if you have a car question. I'm really good at husband and wife disagreements. Now, it can be about kids. It can be about spending money. It can be about credit cards. It can be about who has the checkbook, all that kind of stuff. I'm really good at that. Just ask my wife. So if you want to join us.
1 minute.
And Gil will chime in as well. Gil is the engineer that makes me hit all my marks. Gil and I have worked together for more than 10 years. And we know one another inside and out, and we know the idiosyncrasies. And he knows when I'm winding up to throw it back at him. And he has to be ready with his finger on the button. And so he knows that right now it's 29 minutes and 22 seconds. So in 45 seconds or so, and actually as a coming up to 30 seconds or so, I've got to give it back to him, and I've got to talk it right up to 11:30, and he has to be ready. But this time I'm not going to tell him. I'm going to go ahead and just keep talking all the way through the break, and we'll see if he cuts me off at the 30 or at the top of the hour, which is 11:30. So 602-508-0960. You're more than welcome to join us. Every Saturday we're here talking about cars. 602-508-0960. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Mark Salem here talking to you about car and car repair stuff. Let me tell you about automatic transmission exchange. Phil and Barney Rubble were friends. That's when cars, when you moved your car with your feet and the tires were stones. But Phil has been at automatic transmission exchange since 1968, and him and his staff are really good at transmissions, diagnosis, and repair. He tells me at least half the time he drives a car that's the owner's already been told it needs a complete new transmission, and it doesn't. And there is a repair that will put it back right without the cost of a new transmission. And here's why that is. It's easier for a shop, rather than do the diagnosis, just a bit of what we call an R&R, remove and reinstall another transmission. So we order up a rebuilt transmission and stick it in, and we hope like heck that that fixes the problem. Except here's the big problem, is if it's not the transmission, but it's some electronic that talks to the transmission, then you just put in a transmission, you're going to eat. But don't worry about that. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around for years and years. They're at 40th Street in Washington, and they don't make those kinds of mistakes. It's easy to diagnose transmissions when you're as well-versed in transmissions as they are. Let's go to the phones. Keith, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. I have a son who lives in South Scottsdale, and he's looking for someone reliable who is open on Saturday.
I don't know. Let me tell you, Bell Automotive, it's right at the 101 west, it's west of the 101 on McDowell on the north side of the road. I don't know if they're open on Saturday or not, but I think they are. Craig and Vicki Bell own and operate that, and they're the second generation of family that has had it, because Carol Bell is the father that had it first. And so Craig and Vicki are really good. And I send people to them all the time in that South Scottsdale, Southeast Scottsdale, and North Central Tempe. And I don't ever get any complaints. So Bell Automotive, B-E-L-L, 8700 East McDowell, something like that.
Perfect.
I don't have anybody east, west, north, or south of that without traveling 5, 6, 7 miles. So I'm sorry,
all right.
But Bell Automotive, I'm hoping they're open on Saturdays for your sake.
You mentioned Thompson's Auto Repair. That's a few miles away, but hopefully they're open on Saturday too. We'll try both of them.
Okay, all right. And I'm sure both of them will make you happy. I have all the faith in the world. Those two families are really good at what they do, or otherwise I wouldn't be honking their horn for them. I promise you. Okay.
All right, I appreciate it.
You betcha. All right, DOT and Thompson's. I'm just making sure I got that. Oh, we got another caller. Gil, who is it?
Say hello to Mike.
Mike, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good today. I'm good.
That's good. Well, listen, you helped me a lot on my Lexus. It's an 08. It's got 179,000 miles on it, 78. And I was nothing in my book about transmission oil. It's no dipstick. You never add anything. What's your opinion on getting the maintenance done on the transmission, or should I just leave it? There's nothing going on with it.
Well, there are times in the life of cars where they come out with a sealed transmission, but I promise you that it changes. It's a bad idea on the front end. And then all of a sudden we're getting all this documentation that says, well, we've changed our mind, and we make a kit, and we do this, and we do that, and if you're going to flush it, do this, and put your new fluid here, and have this as the exit on the old fluid, and put it in reverse, and count to 10, and then put it in a neutral, count to 10, put it in drive, count to 10, that kind of stuff.
So at 100,000
miles. So if I brought it into your shop and I said I want a transmission service, would you even do it?
At 100,000 miles, we would.
What? Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's 178.
178. Yeah. Well, I think the first thing,
and it's a use. I don't know what the other owner had.
Yeah.
There's no documentation.
I mean, you can do a little research yourself. You can just go in there and Lexus Transmission, an 08, and transmission service procedure, and maybe you find a YouTube of somebody showing you how to do it. But the first thing you want to do is what kind of fluid does that call for? Now, keep in mind, everything is forward compatible. So if we have a fluid and it said use D and we are already at level G, then we're going to use G in the new stuff because it's all backward compatible. They don't make D anymore, level D tranny fluid. They make G, so we're going to use G. But it can't be a sealed transmission. There has to be some way to take the old fluid out and put new fluid in.
Well, they said there's a plug. Yeah, there's a plug under there.
Okay. All right. Well, and then the only thing you
have. I'm wondering if I should do anything with it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If that's the case.
I want your opinion on that.
Okay. Well, then what I would do is I'd put it up on the rack and I'd loosen up the plug and I'd be prepared not to let it all come out, but I just want, you know, a little pill bottle full of fluid and I want to look at it. Then I want to look at the fluid that I'm going to put back in it. And I want to see if there's a consistency difference, if it smells differently, and that kind of stuff. But I can pretty much assure you, with your mileage on your car, that fluid's going to be brown. It ain't going to be pink, and it isn't going to be red, and it isn't going to be amber. So it's going to be closer to brown than anything else. But then again, really and truly, the transmission in your car should not have lasted this long. So you're flogging an old dog there, but there's also people that are going to say, no, Mark's wrong. You should not put new transmission fluid in that old transmission because it's going to wash the inside clean and plug up all the orifices in the valve body. And Mark says, bull, shoot. Mm. And I don't believe that. And I don't abide by that. So those are your two choices, drain and fill it or not.
Well, your automatic exchange guy out there on Van Buren, maybe give him a call. We'll see what he thinks.
Absolutely. And call, and when you call up there, go ahead and ask for, I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of names on my card. Just call and say, I want to talk to Phil. Mark Salem said to talk to Phil. And then tell him, I got this Lexus, and it says it's a sealed transmission, but it's got a drain. I'd like to know, have you ever drained and filled one of these, and how do you know when it's full? And he's going to say something like this. Well, the drain plug's down here, and 3.5 inches above it is the fill plug, and when it starts coming out of the fill hole, we're done. He may say that.
Okay, so he'll know.
So, and tell
or
him.
Should I tell him Mark Sam says you can't fix it? So
oh, and you could do that too.
50% off.
You could say to him.
Wave
Mark,
the red flag, right?
You're going to say. Mark Salem said that there's not a. You don't have a prayer in hell of answering this question, but I thought I'd call you and ask you anyway. And he'll laugh because that's Mark acting stupid. So, he's a good guy to call and talk to. All righty, good enough. Thank you very much, Mike. 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Well, 45 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we have another segment, and we're here for another 18 minutes. So if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up near I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. I've known Nate for years. Nate is a great diesel guy. He is really very impressive. He can talk as good as anybody I've ever met about diesels, Fords, Chevys, and Dodges. So if you have a diesel and nobody can fix it, then you have to go to Nate. You have to call Nate and make an appointment and bring it in and have him take a look at it. Because while he won't say that he's fixed 100% of the cars that have been presented to him, I'll tell you that if it's not 100%, then it's 99.5% because he is really, really good. I-17, Pinnacle Peak Road, automatic transmission Strictly Diesel, and that's I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, and you can imagine that today's just not a good day for me. And we got a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say hello to John.
John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little frazzled, but that's okay. It's my fault, nobody else's.
All right. Listen, Mark, I have a 1997 Buick Riviera, and the fuel pump needs to be changed. And I noticed that when I pulled the fuel pump out, the filter was all clogged. So I went and probed a little bit more, and I found sludge in the bottom of the fuel tank. So I'm just wondering, without dropping the fuel tank, how in the world am I going to be able to get most of the sludge out so I don't have the problem again?
Well, how did you gain access to the top of the fuel tank? Through the trunk or something?
Yes.
Okay. How much gas is in there?
Well, unfortunately, it's got a full tank of gas in it.
Okay.
And I have a fuel extraction pump that I'm going to use to get all the fuel out of the tank so that I can I hopefully get as much of the sludge out as I possibly can without dropping the tank.
Okay, now, let's stop. I'm going to go to the back to the front. Why did you even focus on the fuel pump? What was it that something, what happened that ended up where we're at now?
Well, the car would start and then stall, and then it would start and then stall, and then it wouldn't start. And then when I was driving it on the freeway, all right, I was doing fine, doing 70 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden it sort of went into a limp mode type of thing where it went, I couldn't accelerate, and it dropped down to probably about 50 miles an hour, and then I got kind of shook up, so I pulled over to the right lane, and I stayed in the, it ended up going around 50 miles an hour, and then I got off the freeway, and then I was at the light, and I accelerate. You know, I hit the accelerator, and it seemed to be fine. And then I proceeded on my way. But after that, every time I tried to start the car up, it wouldn't start. It would start and stall, and you know, that's what brought me back to the fuel tank.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at this through your eyes. What I hear you saying is, I'm going to take from your story is that this fuel system is capable of delivering enough fuel to make the car go 50, but not 60. So it does have a fuel starvation problem. And if you pull the fuel pump out and it's got a sock on it and the sock is full of some crap, then yes, you're going to have to take that out. And what I would do if I were you is I'd get all the gasoline out and I'd get as much of that stuff as you can. And then I'd lift the nose up higher than the back, and I'd force everything to the back, and then I'd take your suck hose and go back there, stick your hand through the inlet, the top of the tank, and then just suck out the bottom. Because if you can lift up, like, the left front and the left rear, you're going to push all the gasoline and junk to the passenger side of the fuel tank, and that'll make it a little easier. But and if it means that you're going to have to stick your arm in that tank and pull out big shop towels full of yuck, the question is what is this stuff? Do you have any idea?
Well, when I purchased the car from an elderly gentleman, the car had been sitting in the garage for 3 years. So that gave me an indication that, either the fuel turned bad, which I'm sure it did because it had a bad smell to it. And so I ended up putting fresh fuel in there. But I did change the fuel pump initially when I got the car.
Okay.
So the thing that I ended up doing is I did put my hand in the tank and I did pull out some sludge. But evidently the thing that ended up happening is there's more that has to be pulled out because, as you mentioned, the sock is definitely loaded with crap.
Okay. Well, you're going to have – I need to tell you, I wouldn't be within a city block of you, but I want you to have a fire extinguisher close by. I want you to have a garden hose charged with water, and I want your wife to be there or somebody to watch you. Because this is you're using an electric pump to pump the fuel tank, and you're all by yourself. And if this thing catches fire or something like that, I would think that you'd want it on the street and not in your garage.
Well, you're absolutely correct about that, and that's exactly what my thoughts were regarding that. Because the flammability of the fuel is with the vapors and not the actual liquid itself.
Right.
So that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
So I have this extraction pump, and you know, like you said, I'm going to do exactly what you said.
Wait a minute. Why don't you just pull the tank?
It's going to be such a problem to do that, I think.
Okay. Well, really and truly, if you towed it to a shop and say, drop the tank and push it over there, I'm going to pick up the tank and take it to the local radiator shop, and he's going to clean it out for me because I already talked to him, and he said he would, and then I'll bring it back and have you reinstall it. I mean, that's certainly some derivative of that made-up plan would work for you. And just have some. I mean, really and truly, you've already pulled the pump out of it. We got two straps and a filler neck. We're done.
Now, what do you think the cost would be without locking you in anything to drop that tank out with a mechanic?
Well, it just depends. I'd need to look at it because I don't know if I'm going to have to move exhaust. I don't know if I'm going to have to take one of the shocks off or one of the springs off to slide the tank out. Is the tank underneath the back seat or is the tank underneath the trunk?
It's underneath the trunk.
Okay.
And the exhaust, it's got a dual exhaust system. So I'm almost sure that the exhaust would have to be moved or cut.
Okay. And that's obvious. But there's also, you know, sometimes we can push this one to the left and this one to the right or heat up the pipe and just put another 2 inches on one side. And then when we're done, we heat the pipe up and bring the pipe back over and without, you know, blowing a hole in it and all that other kind of stuff. So what part of town do you live in?
I'm in East Mesa.
Okay. I'd call Thompson's and ask him if he wanted, if that was something. But you also got a tow bill that you're in. But I just think that the safety issue and you spending a whole lot of time breathing gasoline fumes, pulling this trash out, then the question is, where are you putting the trash? Where are you putting the mud that you're finding in the tank and all that other kind of stuff? What are you going to do with the rags? See, we're all set up for that in the repair industry, so might be worth just having somebody else. I mean, sometimes we can clean the tanks just with a pressure washer. And and then what we end up doing is we ask, there's some guys that will come by and pick up the water with the gasoline in it. But they may charge us $5 a gallon, but at least I don't have to deal with it.
Well, that's for sure.
All right.
That's the reason. I mean, I've called you before, and, you know, you've always given me good advice. And I'm listening to you on the radio this morning, and I'm saying, you know what, I got to call Mark.
Okay. All right. I'm just worried about your safety. I just think at the end of the day, you're not going to smell like gas for a week, and your wife's going to love you a lot more, and you're going to be really happy that the inside's clean. Now, the other possibility is this. Call around and see if you can find a used tank.
Yeah.
And drop that one and boom, and say, hey, I want you to drop it and put this one in. We're done.
Okay. That sounds like a good thing.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling, John. For the rest of you, if you're interested in a trailer, this is a bumper pull two-axle 27-foot camp trailer. As you walk in on the left-hand side, there's a dinette set, then the bathroom and the shower and the toilet to your left, the kitchen's and straight in front of you, and there's a couch to your right, and then there's a bedroom to the far right, which is kind of in the back of the coach. I bought this for a family member, and then it didn't turn out good for the family member, so I'm going to sell it, but not before I've done the Mark Salem treatment. I undercoated the battery box. I put a new battery in it. I rewired the battery box, added two fuses. I added two bus bars. I added another 20-pound propane tank, so now it has two. I also built the bar and the plate to secure the tanks on top together. I replaced two broken latches. I put a propane gauge on the tank. I put new door to cover up the power center and the power converter below the refrigerator that was missing. But anyway, it's a really nice coach. It's $11,000. If you're interested, Mark at MarkSalem.com. It's a 2012 Jayco. And like I said, I've even flushed the water heater. I've done everything. And I've remounted the taillights because they were pretty ugly, and I took care of those. And I put wing nuts on stuff where you can easy take them out and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested, like I say, it's $11,000. For those of you that are interested in a hot rod car, I'm also selling a car that we've owned for a very long time. It's a 2006 Corvette Z06. Z06 is the bad boy. It's an LS7 motor, 7-liter V8. It's 505 horsepower from the factory. It has a 6-speed manual. It's black on black. And this 2006 car has 26,000 miles on it, and it's been stored in a hermetically sealed garage its entire life. And I'm teasing you about the hermetically sealed garage, okay? The Corvette with 505 horsepower can run an 11.5 second quarter mile. This one ran a 9 second quarter mile at Firebird Raceway. And shortly after we ran a 9 second quarter mile, the police and the Indians escorted us to the edge of the reservation because we didn't understand that you have to have a fire suit and a roll bar. So the bunch of gray-haired guys, they kicked out of the drag strip. And for all of us, it's a badge of honor because we went there and we ran an 8.9 at 149 miles an hour with a 2-3 shift in this stupid car. So it's and like I said, this one did the stock car does an 11 second quarter mile at 127, and this one did an 8.9 second quarter mile at 149 miles an hour. So it's fast, and the reason I'm getting rid of it, it's real simple. My grandsons are getting of age to drive, and they're never going to drive this car, never. They've been in it, and they've been with it when their dad takes them for a drive and when I take them for a drive. But they're never going on a date with this car. I just couldn't handle it if they hurt themselves, perhaps their date, or hurt somebody else. So the car's got to go because Salem boys are well known for just being stupid with hot rod cars, like building this one in the first place. So if you're interested in the 2006 Z06 Twin Turbo, LS7, stock was 505 horsepower. It's obviously got a whole lot more than that. So if you're interested, this is a one-of-a-kind car, and when you go to the drag strip, you fear very few people. Anyway, thank you for spending your Saturday with me. If you have any questions, you can always call or get me with me at my email address at mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem.com, and my website is Mark Salem. I'll see you next Saturday right here.